And now, young Widder Brown. This evening, Ellen Brown received an unexpected visit from Lita Haddon, on whose false accusations Ellen's fiancé, Dr. Anthony Loring, is on trial for the murder of Horace Steele. And while Ellen talked with Lita at her front door, the telephone rang. And now Lita watches through the window as Ellen answers the telephone. The call is from Kevin Walsh, who is trying to investigate Lita's past at the school Lita went to in Connecticut. And Ellen has no idea what prompts Kevin's strange question, as he now says.
Ellen, what color are Lita Haddon's eyes?
Kevin, what are you talking about?
I'm asking you, what color are Lita's eyes? Well, answer me, Ellen, do you know? Can you get hold of her to look at her? Where is she now?
Lita happens to be on my front porch, Kevin, looking in my window.
Now, what's she doing there?
I don't know. She came to see me after today's session in court. Oh, Kevin, what is this nonsense about the color of her eyes?
I have to know, Ellen. Do you know the color of her eyes?
Yes, I do. I watched them looking at me in court today, and I thought of a cat or a leopard. They're green and yellow. Kevin, even now, as she's looking at me, the light catches them.
Thanks, Ellen.
Kevin, hello. He hung up. What could Kevin have meant? What difference could it make? Why would he want to know what color Lita's eyes are? She's not at the window now. She's gone away, I wonder. I suppose I should open the door and see. Blowing a pull. Wind. Lita, are you there? No. She's gone. Mariah Hawkins is upstairs.
Ellen!
Oh, it's all right, Mariah.
Please, Ellen, what are you doing? Did I hear the telephone?
Yes, Mariah.
You should be in bed, Ellen.
I know.
Let me get you some warm milk and look at... What are you looking out the window for? You think you expected to see a face?
I do. Lita Haddon was here, talking very strangely.
Lita Haddon? What's right if she'd come here?
I don't know. I was talking to Kevin on the telephone.
Kevin Walsh?
Yes.
Oh, good. Can we find out anything at the school Lita Haddon went to in Connecticut?
Well, Ellen, what's the matter with you?
You seem so far away.
I'm thinking. Kevin called all the way from Connecticut to ask me what color Lita Haddon's eyes are.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Look, this is how it happened. Lita Haddon came to the door, and you know, Anthony had asked me not to be alone with her.
Mm-hmm.
And even as I hesitated about letting her in, the telephone rang.
And it was Kevin asking that.
Yes.
Well, seems incredible, Ellen. Utterly incredible.
And when I told him that Lita's eyes were green, he hung up. That was all, Mariah. And then Lita, who had been looking in the window at me all the time, went away, just disappeared.
And then you foolishly opened the door to see where she'd gone. Why, how do you know she wasn't standing outside the door with an axe, ready to hit you with it or something?
It's all very strange and eerie, isn't it, Mariah?
And dreadful. Now, you're going to bed with some hot milk. Now, go on upstairs now. And any more doorbells or telephone bells, I'll answer them.
In the New River City prison, Anthony, too, listens to the wind and gets up from his cot and goes to the window watching clouds blow across the moon. Now he hears a voice from behind him say,
Dr. Loring?
Yes?
Can't you sleep?
No.
Got any cigarettes?
Oh, yes. You want one?
No, I was going to give you one.
Well, that's very nice of you.
Well, do you want some company? Want to play some rummy? I haven't got anything to do.
Nor I. Nor any place to go, come to think of it. I'd ask you in, but you have the advantage of me there.
I got a couple of hours off. Another guy's on duty.
You are very kind to give me your free time.
It's okay, Dr. Loring. Unless you want to be alone. Do you?
No.
They crack up often times like this.
Men on trial, you mean?
Yeah. Time getting toward the end, you know, and, well, the starch goes out of them. They're fine during the trial in the daytime. But night. Night's a bad thing.
That's when you're really alone with your guilt, if you are guilty, or your sense of injustice, if you're not guilty.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not much of a card player. I just as soon skip the cards if it's all right with you.
Sure, Doctor, sure.
Tell me, is this interesting work?
Sure, in a way.
I think I asked you that before. You must get tired of people like me asking the same questions.
Nobody's like you, Doctor.
Is that a compliment?
You never killed Horace Steele. We've got a bet on it.
I hope you won't lose money on me.
Listen, courts of law are fine. But people like us, the guards around here, the cops who are handling criminals all the time, we get so we know who is and who isn't guilty.
It would be dangerous to eliminate the court of law and depend on your intuition, though, don't you think?
Maybe. Not for you, though. You'd walk out of here tomorrow.
Thanks. Walk out of here tomorrow. How attractive that sounds. Walk out. It was all a horrid mistake. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Walk with your girl in the park again. Go to church on Sunday. Do your work. See the people in the clinic. Just as though you'd only been on a vacation. Yes. Yes, it'll be very nice to walk out of here tomorrow.
Yep.
But instead of walking out of here tomorrow, I'll sit in court and hear Ralph Jordan try to prove to the jury that my girl wrote a lot of love letters to Horace Steele, told a lot of lies.
That's tough. You know, it does something to a guy when people talk about his girl or his wife. In the Army, I remember, I had some people write me some lies about my wife, and it's a bad thing.
A very bad thing.
The thing you do, though, is believe what you believe, I always say. You have to. You fall apart at the seams if you don't. My wife told me, she said, "You tell Dr. Loring about us, Joe. You tell him, because that Mrs. Brown, she never did any of the things a district attorney says she did."
Okay. I'm at a loss to say what I want to say hearing that.
Well, my wife is a very shrewd cookie. And she says that Lita Haddon is a dog. Well, maybe that's strong talk. But she says, compared with Mrs. Brown, well.
This is remarkable. Really remarkable, my friend.
What is?
What you're doing for me, just sitting here talking like this.
Well, blame my wife. I said, "Listen, Dr. Loring don't want to hear anything from me." And she says, "Joe," she says, "he does. Anybody does. Didn't you, when your mother was writing lies about me, want somebody to talk to say she was lying?"
I think I like your wife. She sounds like a fine girl.
You're all right. Well, it sure is blowing.
Yes, but the clouds are clearing off. The wind serves the purpose. Look at that moon now. Turned out to be a good night.
Well, if you feel like a sandwich or anything, I could get it for you.
I do. Will you be my guest? What do you have, my friend? The sky's the limit.
The moon is bright now. The clouds are clearing as the wind dies down. In Linden, Connecticut, Kevin Walsh has returned to his hotel, stimulated by the thought that prompted his strange call to Ellen, and anxious about another telephone call in the morning. And from her bedroom window, Ellen looked out on the night again.
Wind is dying down. The clouds are passing. So much is happening. So much is going on, and it doesn't make sense. Will it all come together? Will it all straighten out? No, Mariah. But I'll try. Really, I will. Good night.
Good night, Andy. Please.
What will the morning bring to Kevin Walsh and Anthony and young Widder Brown.